The least of my worries. Hi, everybody. I'm Jim. I'm a recovering addict.
Hi.
And this thing, okay, I have a back problem, so if I sit down, stand on here, that's why. I'm quite nervous, too. I go to a couple of conventions a year, and I always buy a lot of tapes because I have a lot of days. I go to school at night, I can't get to a meeting, and you know, I listen to the tapes to kind of get my recovery. And over again, I hear people say, oh, I'm so nervous, I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous, but I know that usually after 5 or 10 minutes they get through it, so hopefully I will too. I called my sponsor before this, and he said, just, you know, relax and let your higher power speak through you, so here goes. First found out about this humility, I was like, geez, what do I do with humility? And so I thought I'd start first by reading some stuff in the basic text on what the addiction is, and then I looked in the dictionary on some stuff with humility is, and then I thought I'd like go through my story and try and connect them. One of my favorite passages in the text is talking about the first step. It says, addiction is a physical, mental, and spiritual disease that affects every area of our lives. The physical aspect of our disease is the compulsive use of drugs, the inability to stop using once we have started. The mental aspect of our disease is the obsession or overpowering desire to use, even when we are destroying our lives. And the part I really like, the spiritual part of our disease is our total self-centeredness. Again, the spiritual part of our disease is our total self-centeredness. And then also, we suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure and can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible. You go from total self-centeredness, I looked up humility, and first definition is freedom from pride and arrogance. Another one was state or quality of being humble in spirit. I said, well, humility, humble, that's pretty close. Let's look in the thesaurus, where you look at synonyms and words that are the same. You know, what are some synonyms for humble and humility? Well, modest, unpretentious, contrite, down from your high horse, knocked off your perch, taken down a peg, you know? So, I kind of thought, you know, well, I came in here, I was totally self-centered, still am to some degree, I'm recovering, I'm not recovered. But what I've learned, among many other things in recovery is to try and get away from that self-centeredness and towards something, you know, free, towards a goal of like freedom from pride and arrogance and stuff like that. And so I just thought I'd kind of go through my story a little bit. You know, one second. Okay, keep an eye on the time here. When I got here, I was fucking desperate. You know, I mean, I'd been using for a long time, and I didn't care anything about, you know, the spiritual aspect of the disease or the mental aspect of the disease or any of the finer points. My life had become a living hell, and I knew I needed to stop using, and I tried and tried and tried by myself, and I couldn't. And I was brought up that, you know, you don't ask for help, you take care of things yourself, you know, that kind of that independent, macho-minded thing. So it took a lot of getting slammed around before I got to a point where I was willing to ask for help, but eventually it seemed to me to be the point where it was either, you know, die or survive, and the only way to survive was to ask for help. So I wanted to survive, thank God, and I did ask for help and worked my way into, you know, an outpatient program, and one of the conditions of that was that I go to one NA meeting a week, you know, and I thought in my infinite wisdom at the time that, you know, well, they want me to do this, I'll do it, I'll fulfill the terms of the contract, and I'll go to one NA meeting a week, and I'll go through this 3-month outpatient, and then I'll be cured, and I'll go back to my regular life, and I can stop going to these NA meetings, you know. And so I did that for 3 months, and, you know, I didn't have much fun, but I did stay clean, and I kind of got to know some of the people in my group, in my outpatient group. I really didn't spend a whole lot of attention to people in NA, you know, just, you know, I got to do this, but I don't want to get attached, I have to leave them. And then my outpatient ended. And I had all these feelings, you know, sadness and loneliness and stuff like that. And I didn't know what to do with them because I'd spent so many years running from my feelings, you know. And, you know, I knew I couldn't go back to using, or you know, I knew where it would take me, and someplace I didn't want to go, and I didn't really know where else to go. So I said, well, maybe I can try and get into this thing a little more. So I started going maybe 2 meetings a week, and then 3 meetings a week, and then 4 meetings a week, and you know, I did a lot of things, quote unquote, wrong early on. You know, they tell you got to this suggestion and that suggestion and that suggestion. A couple of them I did, but most of them I didn't, you know. But the thing I did do was stay clean no matter what, because I didn't want to go back to that. And, you know, like any addict, you know, I was self-centered, you know, quite self-centered. And, you know, I pretty much stuck to myself. As soon as the meeting was over, I bolted out the door. And, you know, I really didn't have any interest in trying to get involved or help other people out or anything like that. I just basically wanted to not use. I didn't care about anything else. And I noticed people would, you know, hug me and say, keep coming back, and things like that. And they started asking me out, you know, hey, why don't you come out and have coffee with us? Why don't you come out and have dinner with us? And, you know, for about, you know, a month or two, I refused. You know, well, I got to go file my nails. I got to go wash my hair. I got to go watch the PBS special on, you know, whatever boring topic, you know. And, but then finally, I was miserable. I mean, I was clean, but I was just like, I was white knuckling. I wasn't, you know, really happy, and I wasn't finding any fun anywhere, and I finally decided, what have I got to lose, you know, if I'm out there miserable, and it's just a little different setting than being miserable, and I found that I actually started to enjoy it, or, you know, first I found I wasn't miserable, and then I actually started to enjoy it, and a whole group of people took me under my wing, thank God for them, and they kind of pulled me along, and they didn't ask very much of me early on, you know, they just kind of, you know, just stay clean, you know, we'll take care of the rest for now, and I thank God, because that took all my energy just to stay clean, and eventually started nagging me, you know, well, you should get a sponsor, so finally, after about 7 or 8 months, you know, I got a sponsor. I picked a guy with the weirdest program I could find, and, you know, kind of had, like, some people say, you got a sponsor? Yep, here he is right here, leave me alone, and I used him for a while, and they were saying, well, you should do service. So, okay, I'll start making coffee for this meeting. And after a while, I found my sponsor. I was sponsoring him more than he was sponsoring me. And, you know, I got to the point where I wanted some support and some guidance. And, you know, it was like, I still didn't want to have anything to do with the steps or this dogma and all this sort of stuff. But I did, you know, I did want some guidance. And so finally, you know, he actually suggested, he says, I don't think I'm a very good sponsor for you. I really think you should get someone else. I really can't give you what you need. So I finally got up the nerve and asked the person who I thought had the best program around, you know, who had the most of what I wanted, if he'd be my sponsor. I was afraid to ask before because, you know, he had so many other people and he was so busy and I wasn't worthy and all that sort of crap. But I finally got beaten down to the point and said, you know, will you be my sponsor? He said, yes. And he's been a magnificent, wonderful sponsor. He's still my sponsor today. He's done wonders for me. And anyways, as time went on, I just, you know, stayed clean, you know, a year, 2 years, and, you know, he's like kind of gently, you know, well, you know, eventually you'll need to work on these steps, you know, and, you know, we got through the first couple of steps, and, you know, first step wasn't a problem for me because I was totally beaten, and the second step wasn't too much of a problem for me because I did have a strong spiritual connection, which is, you know, something I've always been very grateful for. I got it even a little bit before it became clean. And as time went on, I came to realize that I could also call the fellowship another power greater than myself that I could use. I could stay clean with them. You know, using you guys, the fellowship, that I couldn't do it alone, and that I could get help and support from them. But this fourth step just had me all hung up, you know. And what I found, it took me, I was in my fourth year before I finished my first fourth step, and my disease tried every trick in the book to keep me from doing it, you know, because it knew that once I got past that, its power would be weakened a little bit. I discovered this later. I didn't know it at the time. All I knew was that I was always just a little too busy to work on it, and my life was busy, and, you know, well, I'll get to it next week. I'll get to it next month, and a couple of things happened. They say that if you don't work the steps, they'll work you. And I found that to be the case because it's kind of, my experience was, you know, it was like my higher power was like, you know, hey, work the fourth step, ignore it. Hey, work the fourth step, not ignore it. Hey, work the fourth step, not ignore it. Hey, work the fourth step. Hey, work the fourth step. And finally it was like, work the fourth step. And I didn't get this directly. I got this from events in life and the pain I was going through. It was like, oh, finally the pain got to be great enough that I said, well, I'm going to the beach for a week. I'll start working on it then. And of course I waited a few days. And one night I was by myself and had nothing else to do. And I picked up a magazine to read. It was in this pile of papers. And out falls the NA fourth step guide. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I'll work on that in a few minutes. But let me read this first. And I put it down. Then I wanted to read something else. And I buried it in the middle of the pile. And I finally, you know, lifted it up. And out it pops again. And it shouldn't have done that, especially not twice in a row. And I'm like, I got to work on my fourth step tonight. It's like, yes, you do. So I did. And I sat down and worked on it. And damn if it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. And that was kind of like the breakthrough moment for me. I came back from a vacation and called my sponsor. And he said, good, you know, we'll do the fifth step in 3 weeks. It's about time. And that was an amazing experience for me because I'd kept secrets, you know, and I thought that I could never tell them. And that, like I said, is part of the self-centeredness that, I can't tell anyone about these things. And I told him everything. You know, I had some stuff. I had most of it written down. There was one thing in particular I didn't have written down. And of course, being the wise fellow that he is, when we were all done, he says, well, I've pretty much heard everything here. Is there anything you haven't written down here? And it's like, okay, well, there's this. And he's like, and I was like waiting for him to say, well, you know, see you later. It's been nice working with you, but you'll have to find someone else. But that wasn't the case. He kind of smiles and says, oh, yeah, lots of people do that. Don't worry about that. You know, I was like, oh, you know. It was a huge help. I mean, I found out I needed to find out who I was, what my assets were, what my defects were, if I had any hope of changing and getting unself-centered or starting to get in unself-centered and get out of myself. And the only way that I really wasn't able to do that until I had actually, worked this and seen what it, you know, what my assets and defects were. And I had a few things to learn, like, you know, my worst defect by far was and is perfectionism, to the point where my third or fourth defect was, I had written down, was laziness. And I was talking to my sponsor a couple of years later, and I said, what do you think are my strongest assets? And first thing he says is, well, you're a hard worker, you know. So I was so much a perfectionist, I thought I was lazy. And anyway, I had to adjust. Once I adjusted to my defects, then I had to adjust to the fact of being willing to get rid of them, because once I admitted them, I wanted to hang on to them. It's like, oh, well, they're me, you know, I don't really want to get rid of them. And that was probably the first experience of humility, that it was like getting ready to get rid of these. It's like accepting that even though they're a part of me, that, you know, I wanted to move on and get rid of them. And so I got through that, and the eighth and the ninth step was, you know, having to go back and change my mentality from taking everyone else's inventory and what they were doing, you know, which is self-centered, to taking my own inventory. It's like, I can't worry about what they do. All I can worry about is my role in things. And that's what the eighth and the ninth step helped me do. Service, you know, helped me a lot, because what I found is when I stay in myself, you know, my disease can take over, and I come in here to arrest and check my disease. It's incurable. It's always going to be there, but I can check it. And by working the first nine steps, I was able to actually kind of cage it up a little bit, not completely, but at least reduce its effect on my life, you know, so where it wasn't running everything. And then it's my job to keep it that way, you know. And that's what, like, the the 10th, 11th, and 12th step, it's important for me to keep taking inventories, you know, whenever something comes up where I can tell if I've done something that's not quite right, I can tell. I just know as soon as it's done, it's like I get this feeling. And then I've learned to just, okay, what's your role in it? What's your role in it? A lot of times I can't see it, so, hello, sponsor, this happened, what should I do? You know, hello, my, you know, sponsor's out of town. I'll friend one, friend two, friend three, what do I do? Or, you know, go to a meeting, you know, hey, what do I do? Stuff like that. And sometimes my head tells me to do the right thing and they confirm it. And other times my head was saying to do the wrong thing, and they'll say, well, I really think you should do this, and I'll say, oh, you're all wrong, and go home and think about it, and say, you know what, they're all right, and then go ahead and do it anyway. And that keeps my disease in its cage. I try and keep it from getting excuses to come out and ruin my attitude and stuff like that. Just working a program, doing service work, anything at all that'll get me out of myself. You know, it's an endless battle. Is my disease is trying to bring me back to that self-centeredness, and I'm trying to stay out of that because I enjoy life a lot better when I'm not there. My attitude's better, and life can be fun, happy, joyous, and free, or spiritually refreshed and glad to be alive, whatever. But it's I like life like that. That's what I came into recovery for, was to have, you know, to have fun and enjoy life, you know. And my disease, you know, is just sitting back there waiting to fuck up my life. And once I realize that, if I can keep that present, why should I give it an inch, you know? And that's what I try and do. And, of course, it's cunning. It gets a couple of inches here and there, but I can usually spot it before it gets too far. Or if I can't, some of my friends will. doing service gets me out of myself and into other, you know, helping other people out, and that helps it. Making contact gets me out of myself. Doing my daily meditation, doing my daily 10-step, going to my home group, all that stuff gets me out of myself. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I guess I used to run in high school. I used to run cross country and track, and I'm very grateful for it for many reasons, but one of the ones recently is it gave me a great model for my disease, because I don't know. When you run, it's like you're out running a 2-mile race or a half mile race around a track or something like that. It's like there's nowhere to hide if you're not in shape. It's like if you lazed off that week in practice, or in my case, if you went out and used a couple of nights before because your buddies wanted you to use, you know, you weren't going to do as well in that race, no matter how you tried to, you know. There's just no way to con or fake your way out of it. There's just, you're out there and there was nothing you could do. And so I learned it was to stay in shape was something I had to do every single day, you know. And if I didn't do it, you know, if I slacked off, then I would see the results fairly quickly. And that's been a great lesson for my recovery. You know, I've tried to remember that, and it's worked very well for me. I'm very grateful for it that, you know, if I slack off on my recovery, if I let my recovery get out of shape, then I can't hide from my disease. I can't con my way around my disease. My disease will creep up. My disease will mess with my attitude. You know, I'll get, you know, irritable. I'll get depressed, and you know, I just don't want that. That's not what I got clean to do. So anyway, I think I'm coming up on about a half hour now. It's really about all I can think of to say on humility. It's been a wonderful experience sharing. I hope some of you got something out of it. I know I did. Thank you very much.
Hi, family. My name is Grace, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Grace.
And I want to say thank you, Jim. Now I would like to introduce our second speaker, Sharon. My name is Sharon, and I'm an addict from D.C. And it's humility for me to stand up here and tell y'all that I'm nervous, because, I mean, I've been here for a minute. I didn't think I'm going to like this thing. But anyway, so that you can hear me, I need to talk. So am I talking loud enough?
Yes.
Thank you. So that I can feel relaxed and be comfortable to let God work through me and allow y'all to get some help through my God trying to work through me. So y'all, would y'all get up, humble yourself, hug the next person, tell them you love them so that I can be some
help.
My name is Sharon, and I'm an act. And that was a humiliating experience for me when I first got here, because you told me when I came in the room to reach out and hug somebody. And to act like me, I'm like, I ain't hugging nobody. I don't feel like it this morning. You know, I'm not there, so I don't have to do it. And what I found out was that if I hugged you, then it let me know that whatever I'm dealing with ain't that bad. Because just hugging you let me know that someone cares. I was just in another workshop, and I was just getting a couple of minutes of it. You know, kind of get choicy when you want to speak, and you hear somebody else saying some things you want to hear, and kind of look around the room and see a lot of people faces that you do know and a lot of people faces you don't know, and like, dang, what can I say today to make a difference in a newcomer's life? Because that's why I'm here. Now, I'll have what God willing 10 years in April next year.
That's right.
And I don't do that to flunk. I do that to remind myself in 1988 where I was. I was not in Ocean City. Ocean City was not the topic. Okay? If you wasn't a man 6'2", you were not key.
Okay.
So humility for me was to come in here in 1988 and allow you people get to know who I am today. Humility for me is to come in here and find a God of my understanding that I build a relationship with so that I can get open-minded and that you people give me what I don't want. And what y'all gave me was a set of principles that told me that I could be miserable or I could be peaceful inside. Today, I chose to be peaceful inside.
Right.
And how I got that peace is through the thing that I'm going to try to explain today. When I came here in 1988, I came here through God working through somebody in my life. I had no concept of detox or rehabs. Let me tell it, I didn't need it. Girl like me, I don't need anything. And then I did not have a problem. And I identified out, you know, crawling on the floor, sleeping in the car. I understand that. Girl like me don't do those things. What I was told was that it's not what I did. It's not how I did it. It's not when I did it or where I did it. It's how I feel now that I can say I've done it.
Go ahead.
Once you admit it, now are you ready to deal? Because humility is allowing yourself to feel pain and react positive. You hear me? Feel pain and react positive. Because if you feel pain like I feel pain, you react negative and you're going to get the same thing you got before. Just the same feeling to fill the void. And when you fill the void with sex, because they're real good. Real good. You're substituting with money because you're getting paid because you go to work. You're substituting it with clothes because you want to look good. And you don't feel the same way inside. Sharon, you're going to be doomed to repeat the same things over. So let's look at it again. Let's start over. Why are you here? To do the same thing over. No. You're here so that the God of your understanding can show you how to go through pain. Feel it, be grateful for the humility, and move on. Move right on.
Because
when you move on, you're on the other side. And when you get on the other side, ladies and gentlemen, you can say, well, that's okay. I ain't mad at you. Because you have to go through pain, Sharon, in order to know how it feels. You got to hurt. If you ain't heard it here, you don't understand third step, Sharon. Because my third step was pain. It told me to learn how to sit still and hurt because why? I self-inflict pain. Me. If you were 6'2", you were painful to me.
Yeah.
Okay? But because you were painful to me, I had to mesmerize and justify why you should be there. Okay? You need to be with me because my God wants you there. Lust ain't got nothing to do with this. This is my God working. I didn't want you in my life. But then when we go into a bedroom thing, you come out and tell me that you are all right and you ain't trying to go there. And I'm like, why not? Because I wasn't there when you started. What happened? Ain't nothing happened. I just did it and you did it. What, I mean, why we got to go through all this? I'm like, but I thought, you thought what? Where you get that idea from? You 6 months clean. You want to go. I just went for the ride. Ride is gone. Bus stop here, honey. Bus is stopping here. Only way up is them steps. Are you ready?
All right.
So coming in here with 6 months clean, ladies and gentlemen, I was humiliated a lot. Because a girl like me, self-centered in nature, did not understand that the only way I could get on the other side of humility was to get to the steps. I substitute one for another. Look how sexy I am today. I substitute one for another. Check how I look. I substitute one for another. You was tall and fine, but I already got one. I substitute one for another. Why? Because I didn't understand that filling the void with a God of my understanding was going to help me deal with humility. I didn't understand that. I come from a church background, so I mean, I pray to God when I need to. You know, God, please get me out of this situation so they both don't see me at the same time. I pray. I really pray. Say, pray for willingness, strength, and acceptance, Sharon, and not for things. You get your help. Don't pray for the man to come in the door. Because when he come in the door, are you ready to accept the man as he is? Well, wait a minute, he got a change. Too big. I don't like the way he dressed. He don't drive the right car. No, Sharon. Humility is accepting the person exactly where they are in your life right now. If you don't like insurance, you remove you. You can't remove the situation. You have no control over the outcome. That's what the third step told us. We are responsible for the effort. And whenever I try to control the outcome, I get humiliated. Because it don't get off my life. I mean, I get all dolled up and fine like I got it going on. Step outside the door. How you feel? Don't worry about that. How I look. Because that's what it's about. How I look. Ain't got nothing to do with how I feel. I'm a newcomer. It don't matter. And she asked me a simple question. Are you willing to do self-will continuously? Are you willing to allow God to let will of his, the God of his will help you? I got to think about that. God's will, self-will. Humility, pain, frustration. Well, I mean, you know, I ain't really that bad. So, I mean, you know, I'm going to do self-will. I mean, you know, shit. I'm still a newcomer. I ain't got but 7-8 months. You know, go to meetings. Sit up front. It's there to me. Go in the back. It's there in the back. Well, Sharon, why can't you just come to the meeting, sit down, be grateful? Well, I need to make sure that everybody know I'm here. Because that's why I thought I came. I'm here, y'all. See me? And what I found out is that if I got to always come in here and feed my ego, then I'm not humble.
All right,
I'm not humble. Because if I got to come in here and get your validation for me to do what I need to do to stay here, then my justification for being here has been distorted. Because ain't nowhere in no steps does it say you got to look good to sit here. Ain't nowhere in no steps does it say that you got to be a certain build. got to be sound mind and thinking. You got to be willing and honest. Dress code ain't got nothing to do with Sharon. So why are we all caught up about how you got to look to come up in here? My hair ain't done. I can't go to the I ain't got on the jeans I want, you know, because, you know, I go to $10 store. I ain't going to a meeting. My sponsor told me that if I get so caught up with what I got to do all the time instead of finding some gratitude for knowing that I'm going to get some help, because that's why I'm here. I'm humiliated with all the pain and the degradation that I caused me to get in. Because I heard y'all late. Didn't y'all hear me earlier? I didn't have a problem. Y'all did. Y'all had a problem. I ain't go to detox. Y'all did. I ain't have a problem. But for some odd reason, I stayed miserable. But y'all had the problem. But I stayed miserable. So we need to take a look at why am I so miserable when I don't have any problems. And we found out that the reason why I am miserable is because I don't know how to be humble and accept you as you are in my life the way God has put you there without changing something. Change something. Have to change something. And y'all told me to accept you exactly the way you are in my life. Exactly the way. Humility for me is to come in here and show the newcomer, just because I'm coming up on 9.5 years, I cry just like you do. Humility for me is to come in here and the newcomer say, I need 50 cents, and I got to go in my pocket and say, baby, I don't have it, because I don't have no money. That's humility. Because you work every day and you don't have no money? Well, no, because I'm responsible and I pay bills. And if you know a girl like me, I shop to my feelings. I don't shop to my feelings no more, but now I stay broke because the bills get paid. Because that's humility. I'd rather be humble today and pay those bills than being humiliated and look good, had a man walking on, knocking on the door. I have a choice today. My choice is to be an example to the newcomer and let the newcomer know. You have to go through pain. You must go through pain. Because I don't understand, but my sponsor tell me that if you have not hit a bottom and received the basic desire that you want to stop doing something, you ain't humiliated. You ain't ready yet. What do you mean I ain't ready? I said I'm hurting. Well, you ain't heard enough. Well, how much is enough? Enough is when you cry every day. You look at somebody and you just start crying. You go to work and you just start crying. What's wrong? I just cry. You know, for no other reason, you're driving down the street, you're just crying. Somebody get in your lane, you're just crying. But you ain't had enough. She said, I cannot deny you your pain that you must go through so that you can get the basic desire that you want to stop doing what you're doing, Sharon. You got to feel the pain. You got to hurt. You got to get humiliated to the point that you say you don't want it no more. Because isn't that what we did when we came here? Stop. Surrender. Not today. I do not want to get high. Just today I don't want to get high. The same things that you said when you didn't want to get high. You got to do that with humility. I found out that humility is a second disease. Because if you have not done step work, Sharon, then you won't stay humiliated in this program. Trust me, I've done it. 9 months just going to meetings. Looking good. Pulling too. Side. Going home, miserable, lonely. I look good. Why I got to go home lonely all the time? It's not how you look anymore. Because when you're working on the inside, it don't matter how the outside looks. When you're working on the inside, it don't matter how the outside looks. She said, look at the second step. What are you filling the void with?
money. Gotta have money. Sex. Gotta have sex. Gotta eat. Going out. Because y'all told me to come here and party, right? So you gotta go out and have a nice time. Everything but the God of my understanding, I'm filling the void with. What I get? Pain. Why are you getting pain? You're doing everything that you want to do on a self-will basis. Self-will will run you right, Sharon. It's me. Quite a bit there. I had to hit bottoms and say, I don't want it anymore. But of course, what I like is that once you get an inkling of relief, I'm all right. Don't need you no more stuff. I'm all right. I am all right. I mean, I was going through a little something, but we're going to work that over now. So I'm all right. So I don't need to open this book no more. You know, I don't need to read and highlight nothing else and see what it identifies with. I'm all right. So, after you become all right, Sharon, for that inkling little bit, do you go back and repeat what you just worked on?
Of course.
Of course you do. Why? Because you stopped doing what was making you feel comfortable inside. You closed the book, Sharon. You got dressed all up again on the outside and you forgot about the inside once more. Humility is going in the inside. Humility for me is going in the inside. Open the book and continue to peel those layers off that onion so I can get to the little teeny little seed down there to say, I'm ready. I'm ready. So after you look at the second step and you start filling the void with a God of your understanding, you fill the void with things that make you feel good about being who you are today, Sharon. You fill the void with coming to a meeting for a purpose, not to pick up anybody. You come to the meeting not to disturb the meeting, but to get some help when you get there.
That's right.
You're filling the void with things that make you feel good about who you are today. Then you look at that third step, and here you go. Bam! Bam! Lust. First one on the list. But I just want to do it one time. I just want to do it. I mean, I'm working on me. I am. I got the book open, right? I've accepted that I'm powerless. I put no expectations on you people. I've raised my acceptance, but now I'm in a whole lot of pain. You people did this to me. She told me that when you do God's will, pain follows. Because, Sharon, you got to reemphasize why you're here. Your pain needs to be motivated by something. And my pain was motivated by being humiliated. I got tired of being humiliated with doing the same thing over, expecting different results. Can't do it anymore. Well, yeah, but then you can. You can. You can do it. But then you get the same thing. You be crying again, Sharon. Come in here crying all the time. I got to share because, well, I did my second step, but I'm on this third and it's painful, so I don't want to make a decision to do God's will right now as I understand Him. I'm going to want to go back and fill the void with some things I was familiar with. Because I'm uncomfortable with going on. When you're humble and you're uncomfortable, then you know you're moving toward God's will. Because God's will is uncomfortable for me because I don't know what it is. It's unfamiliar because I don't know when it's going to happen. My will, bam, I know I'm going to wear this outfit. I'm going to get that guy. I'm going to go to that meeting at 7 o'clock. I'm going to come in at 7:30. Bam, they're going to have to take a look at me. I'm going to disturb the meeting. I know what my will does, but I'm unfamiliar with God's will. So I'm humiliated. But if I have an inkling of faith, y'all say mustard seed of faith.
Mm-hmm.
The third step says if I have a mustard seed of faith, then and only then can I move to the other side. Because I got to understand, I must understand, I must accept that I got to hurt. You got to hurt, Sharon, because you got to feel pain. You got to hurt. Because when you hurt and you feel it this time, you won't do the same thing you did to get the pain. You do something different, like move on to the fourth step. Because now, Sharon, you need to see who you are and why you stay the way you stay all the time. So you got to write. You got to write. And if you don't write, you're doomed to go and repeat some self-will issues. And say, 2 o'clock in the morning, I was lonely. Instead of calling your network or your sponsor that you brag about all the time in the meeting, I got a hell of a sponsor, but 2 o'clock in the morning, I got to call the man because she ain't going to understand. Because yeah. I'm humiliated and I don't want no help. Because that's what y'all told me. So you look at the fourth step and you write about those issues about why you a little girl, Sharon, you don't want to grow up. And why when you snap your finger, everything's supposed to come to your feet. It ain't like that in here no more. You ain't out there no more, Sharon, you ain't here. You either going to recover and work the steps or you going to recover and be in pain. You can do both, newcomer. I did it, but I hurt a long time. After you do that fourth step, Sharon, then you're able to see who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're able to see. Because after you do the fourth step, you're able to go to somebody. I chose it to be my sponsor. Hold my head up high now and let somebody in the United States of America know who Sharon really is. Because I'm humiliated. I'm in pain and I'm tired. So I need to do a fifth step so that somebody can know that I want to be humble, I just don't know how.
Uh-huh.
But with God working through her, I can get the help I need. That's why it's so important that I move on. That's why I had to do that fifth step. Because after you read it and you tell somebody, you're aware of those behaviors. No longer can I say, I'm a newcomer and I just got here. When I'm lusting. No longer can I say, I'm a newcomer and they need to understand when I get to work an hour late. Because I'm in recovery. It don't work like that no more. It don't work like that. After you do the fifth step and you see those defects of character, then it's time to become willing to have God remove those defects, because you can't do it, Sharon. Because you know every time you try to move the defect, it seems like you get it closer to you. You know what I'm saying? You say you're going to start flirting, but he's just too tall and fine not to say something to you. Just let me tell him I'm an addict. Yeah. Just let me tell him I'm an addict. You know? Which way are you going? Got a car outside. But I might need a ride. But you got a car outside now. Yeah. So after you do that fifth step, Sharon, humiliate yourself enough where you will want to go on to six. And look at those defects of character. Especially those glaring ones, Sharon, because you're humiliated now. And we're trying to get on the other side of humility. We're trying to learn how to deal with humility, accept it, be grateful for it, and move on. And how I did that was after I looked at that sixth step and I found out that the clean house meant to go inside. I'm resentful. I'm selfish. I'm self-seeking. I'm self-righteous. I'm arrogant. I am. I need to get humble. You don't. I do. How I get humble? Getting on my knees. Sharon, get on your knees. This time, get on your knees and not ask God to remove the humility, but to let you accept the pain that the humility caused.
Because that's how you get on the other side, Sharon. By allowing yourself to feel the pain and be grateful for the humility that the pain caused and act positive to the reaction. Because when you do that, then you say, my name is Sharon and I'm an addict and I feel real good as well as I look. She told me when you dress up the outside and you don't dress up the inside, then you're going to get pain. And she told me, pain is optional. So is misery, newcomers. But you got to get the basic desire that you don't want to hurt no more. I had to hit the bottom. Me. You can tell me, Sharon, you need to stop doing that. I'm like, you just jealous because you can't get away with it. They don't understand me. You know? I need to be left alone. I work too hard to get here. Okay. Well, if you work so hard to get here, what are you going to do to stay here? Are you going to work the steps? Or are you going to say, I'll be all right tomorrow morning? Because it's your choice, Sharon. It's your choice. What are you going to do? Your choice. Y'all told me to accept that when I'm powerless, that I don't have to react negative to the situations that cause me pain. Because humility is saying, it's okay, thank you. She, you know, going to work in the morning, my lane. I don't own a highway, but it's my lane. Don't get in front of me. I'm subject to blow the horn and tell you to move to the side. What right do I have to tell you to move? You got a job to go to or responsibilities to tend to just like I do. So who am I? The police? I think not. So I need to humble myself. If I want to get in a lane by my, I need to be the only one up early in the morning. And of course, as lazy as I am, that's not going to help. So I need to humble myself enough so that when I get up, that I've allowed myself enough time that I don't blow my horn to get people moving. Mm-hmm. If you're driving too slow. No, them people ain't driving too slow. You driving too fast because it's your responsibility to get up and you just wait till last minute. Humiliate yourself again. And then you want to be humble. Move. Got work to do. I was told that after those defects of character have been told to me in my fifth step, then it's only fair for me as an addict in recovery to go on to asking God to humbly remove them. How I allow the God of my understanding to humble me is by letting those defects of character come up. Selfishness. I don't want to share nothing of me. No. And I ain't got no benefit, no sharing involved. I found out when I'm selfless, I get the help. And today, I'm not as selfish as I was in 1988. I will give up my time freely. And don't charge you for it. Because I like to charge. You know? I really think I could put this thing on the market, you know? Get paid, as we call it. But y'all told me I can't charge y'all for giving me the help that the God of my understanding want me to have. So I need to find some gratitude for knowing that you're here for me. So to become humble and remain humiliated, I need to allow you people to continue to take up my time. Call me and allow me to call you. You know, my hobby is skating. I am addicted to skating. I hate to miss skating.
Yes, you do.
And when somebody asks me to lead a meeting on skating night, it's humility. Because I go from a withdrawal of saying I want to do it to a willingness of saying I must do it. And I get there and I tell them, I say, you know, I really don't want to be here. But I can't say no. Y'all didn't say no to me. So I need to humiliate myself and not be out there on ladies only and come in here and share with the newcomer how it is that I can go through humility and still stand up here and smile. Because when you substitute one for another and it's a negative result, you're going to get humiliated. So Sharon, learn how to become humiliated and with positive reaction. And when I say positive reaction, getting up in the morning and want to get a kiss from your mate, you saying, I don't want to be bothered. And you're sensitive like me. You know? I'll go on with that bush stuff. Make my day. Well, you have to know how to make your day over again. Asking a dumb question. And somebody said, don't mess with me. You know? The question is dumb. No, it ain't dumb. And you told me only dumb question is the one I don't ask. But then when I ask the question, tell me it's a dumb question. That's humility for somebody to say, that's a dumb question you just asked. Why not just say, I don't know? She told me, if you cannot be loving and caring in your response, then you're not humble, Sharon. You don't have the right to curse somebody out because they asked a stupid question. Just say, sweetheart, keep coming back in a loving, caring voice. Because I don't have the right to hurt you because I'm hurt. I don't like to curse you out and make you mad because I'm going through something I ain't ready to share it yet. Humble myself and say I'm going through something right now. I'm not ready to work on the issues yet. So if in fact I offend you, please let me apologize before we start. She told me if I can't be loving and caring, then why am I in your face? I do not need to be in your face if I'm me. You did not come to me and say, you need to be pissed off when I tell you this. I found out that the God of my understanding put situations and examples in my life to make me take a look at how humble I need to stay. Because in order to be a part of this program, it tells us in all our steps that you must be humiliated. Because until there's some form of humility in your life, you're not going to go nowhere. You're not going to do anything. You're going to get complacent. And when you get complacent like me, you get in pain. And I don't like pain. So what I try to do is allow that seventh step to take focus in my life, humble myself as much as I can. Now, I'm going to fall short because I'm not perfect. Now, if I curse you out, believe me, when I think about and do that 10 step, I'm going to come back and tell you I apologize. Because today I know when I tell somebody else off, when I hurt somebody else's feelings, I don't feel good. I can't feed my ego anymore. Because I was told when I feed my ego, all I'm doing is easing God out. I don't want to ease God out anymore. I need you people in my life. And with that, I want to thank the God of my understanding, this committee, and you people for allowing me to share. And if I've hurt you, I apologize. Thank you.
Meeting. If somebody would like to come up and
share.
Lois, come help me.
What's going on, y'all? Yeah, you gonna share?
Okay.
I'm proud as though my addiction. My name is Henry.
Hi, Henry.
Y'all act like it didn't. Slow down.
All right.
Saved by God's grace. And I was thinking about humility as it relates to me. And one of the most difficult things I find to do at times is just to tell my story. Sometimes I want to, because of my low self-esteem, I want to say something other than who I am, or I want to make you believe I am other than who I am. And I found out during the course of my being here, when I begin to tell my story, you'll find bits of pieces of humility there. In order for me to stay here, you know, I have to practice some humility. But I believe, and I've experienced this, when I begin to recognize it, not that it can't be recognized, but when I consciously recognize that I'm humble or I'm practicing some humility, I just lost it. Simply because, for me, it's living the program in action. But for me, when I recognize, well, I was humble about this and I was humble about that, and knowing how self-centered I am, I'll puff myself up and I've just lost some humility. Now, when I get to know my story, say for instance, if anybody know me, they know my story, they know when it comes to relationships, I'm real selfish. So selfish that it's been bits and pieces of my story that I've taken and I've literally locked my mate in the house.
Yes.
Now, today in the program, I'm not locking my mate in the house.
Right.
Listen to me. In bits and pieces of my story, you'll hear the change that humility brings. And in order to get to that point, because underlined were insecurities and inadequacies. In order to get to that point where at one time I consciously thought locking in was a trusted relationship. But to get to the point where I don't lock in, there had to be some degree of change along the line. Now, I can't just sit back and say, well, I changed in 1989, and I changed a little in 1990, and I changed a little in 1991. All I know today is that today I'm not locking my mate in the house. And so in order for that change to come about, for me, it has been described that you have been practicing humility. In the sixth and seventh step, I begin to be directed to the parts which prompted me to allow change to come into my life, how I experienced or how I wallowed in short-term pleasure and experienced long-term pain. Now, as a result of constantly recognizing that, I begin to make some conscious choices. As a result of how I lived early on in the program, I begin to make conscious choices about what I wanted to do today. And what they entail was a degree of humility, so I've been told. So today, I recognize that the things I want to do, when I say the things I want to do, because I peeked over and explored and looked at myself, and I've seen the things I want to do are the things most of the time that's non-conducive on this road to recovery. But the things that I don't want to do, even after 10 years in the program, I dare not say you, I ain't selfish. I guess I'm selfish. It's my nature to be selfish, and it's my nature to not be humble. I'm not a humble individual. So the things that I want to do, what I try to do is not do them. Say, for instance, if I want to talk all the time, me and my sponsor talking, my sponsee, if I want to talk all the time, what I'll do is I'll just shut up and let him talk. And it's killing me. On the inside, I'm humiliated because I want control over that situation. But out of it, the blessing comes because I grow. And so the next sponsee come along, I'm able to let him talk also. You see, so I just don't consciously point those things out. But what it is designed in the steps that once I've recognized how the steps work in my life, and when I begin to practice the steps as a way of life and not an intellectual exercise, then humility comes. Say, for instance, when I'm being honest, when I'm being honest. It's not my nature to be honest. I'm an addict. I've lied, I've cheated, I've stole, I've deceived for years. And it's not my nature to be honest, especially about me. Oh, I have cash register honesty. But it's to set you up in the long run. You see, it's to set you up in the long run. So when I'm being honest about me, and that is when I'm restricting myself, and I mean, listen, it's good every now and then you point something out about me. That's good. But you know what is better? When I point something out about me, when I recognize that I don't want to sleep with selfishness tonight, when I recognize that I don't want to go back to the Brighton Towers and sleep with selfishness tonight. So, baby, you go out and have fun, party and do whatever you want, because I don't want to go to sleep tonight with selfishness. Now, I don't know how far to go, but just for right now, I don't want to wonder where she is. You know, when I came from a reference of locking her in. You see, that's change. Just like I came from a reference of dealing with life through drugs and alcohol and using people. And today I'm trying to abstain from drugs and alcohol. That's change. And they tell me, and I say this and shut up, they tell me the total program is humility and gratitude. And if I'm not changing, then I'm not programming. Thank y'all for listening to me. I need to say that.